The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, July 22nd, 2012. If you're listening live, and it is whatever day it is at whatever time it is, if you're listening to the recording, in either case, welcome and thank you for joining me to co-create this here today. As always, I really want to express my gratitude for the co-creation here. And today's topic is going to relate to that, the co-creative aspect. But I just want to bring that up here at the beginning and emphasize it even more than normal, perhaps, because the further I go on in walking this path, whether it's with the radio program, whether it's in the other work I'm doing individually or the other groups that I'm doing, I see more and more and more the co-creative energy taking place. Just over a month ago now, when I was up in Washington, D.C., closing that portal, that experience that I had just overwhelming my energy field of the support that I was receiving from those who were sending to me to support what I was doing there, who were sending energy to me to co-create that, really anchored it in experientially for me in a very different way. And I just choose to keep reflecting that back as much as I can, that as I sit down to be the voice for these programs, every time it is a co-creative experience. This is not just me and my mind forming these words. It's our energy together forming what's being shared. And so, thank you. And without further ado, let's go in and anchor and open those connections as fully as we possibly can. And again, whether you're listening live or listening to the recording, you're still bringing your energy to the moment that I am speaking this live. Even though if you're listening to the recording, it's backwards in linear time. Time is irrelevant in that sense to the energy flow. I am receiving it. So thank you. And let's go within. And this first portion, as always, is to connect with, to open our contact, our connections with our divinity more fully, to allow ourselves to experience that as fully as we're able in this moment. And so again, however you might envision that, or however you might choose to bring that into being, it starts with your intention and expands with your breath. So open that intention to connect with, to allow your experience, to choose to maximize your experience of your own divine energy in this moment. And as you breathe, you're creating a flow, almost like pumping a bellows and allowing that energy to come up more and more and more until it reaches the level that's your container being full, like blowing up the balloon. There's a certain maximum amount of air you're going to get in there. So it's not like we're trying to push beyond that maximum. We're just trying to take advantage of it and fill ourselves as fully as possible. Wonderful. All right, so let's expand these connections out even further and connect now with our Mother Earth. Again, whatever way works best for you, but remember intention and breath. And I like to do it through the root and the feet chakras. And if that works for you, that's great. If you happen to be lying down somewhere listening, you might want to do it through the cells of your body, all of them. You might want to do that anyway. But just allow yourself to open into that connection with our Mother Earth. And specifically, to receive the energy that we consciously as humans might label as love and support. Because both of those she offers to us. Love is acceptance. She is not sitting down there judging us going, God, I wish he would stop doing that. I wish she would quit smoking and he would quit overeating and they would all take more time to get out and smell the roses. That's not what she's doing. She's simply down there holding a space for us to be who we are. And that, to me, is the core of love, that energy of acceptance. And support, well, let's look at that literally. When we walk, what are we walking on? We're walking on the earth. When we lie down or are seated, we're on the earth. Now, there may be chairs or floors or concrete or wood or whatever in between us and the actual earth or dirt or rock that we might think of as the planet. But all of those things are resting, if we go down through enough layers, even if we're mile high in a skyscraper, we go down through enough layers, they're resting on the earth. She is literally giving the support, the foundation for our entire existence. She is supporting everything we are experiencing by providing us that foundational energy through which we can experience it. And that, to me, in this moment, and it'd be great if it was in every moment, but in this moment in particular, that is miraculous. That she provides that for us. That is another aspect of this love. That is unconditional giving, if you will. And so let's open that flow even further and bring that gratitude in. The gratitude that she's there providing us with that love and support. And allow your gratitude to flow down. And allow your love to flow down. Whatever it is you love, whether it's specifically love of Mother Earth or love of your life or love of particular experiences in your life or love of another person even, that support that she provides us allows us to experience that love. So share some of that with her as well. And to the degree that you're willing, to the degree that you would choose this, the other thing that I would ask is that you consider your support of her. Now, what that means is going to vary individual to individual. For some of us, it's recycling. For others, it's going out and picking up garbage and cigarette butts and things that we might find walking our path or through our life. For others, it might mean planting trees. It might mean holding a vision of a world where the environment is not threatened. It might mean an infinite variety of other things. So whatever support there is that you would like to offer, allow yourself to offer that to whatever degree. And allow yourself to breathe into it. And as we allow our gratitude and our love and our support to flow down to the earth, what we're doing is opening up more space to receive her love and support in return. And so let yourself breathe. And as you're breathing, feel that flow of energy coming into you and energy flowing out from you. And coming in and flowing out. And I'll stop talking like this in a minute because I'm not here to hypnotize you today. All right. So let's go on to That next level of connection, knowing that these connections are remaining open. We're keeping that flow open of our expanded divine experience. We're keeping these flows open of connection with the Mother Earth. And now we're expanding out to connect with the other beings that are here, not in physical body, but an energy body, who are here supporting us, angels, guides, ascended masters, spiritual teachers, whatever other beings there are that are not in physical form that we are registering through our normal senses. And again, open to them in whatever way you feel comfortable and feels appropriate for you. Opening your heart, opening your third eye, opening your crown, opening your energy field, whatever might work best for you as a way to conceive of this and participate with it. And once more, what we're opening to is that receiving first, that receiving of their love and support, their acceptance of us, their support of us, not in doing anything, not at the first level. At the first level, their support is for us simply being, for us being in the body right now. For us coming into greater degrees of consciousness as we choose to, as we are able to. But they're not there like the old vision of God, ready to punish us if we don't do what they want us to do and reward us if they do, if we do what they want us to do. That's not it. They're here providing that energy, that love, that acceptance of us as divine beings down here behind the veil where we don't remember our divinity, where we don't fully experience it. And they're supporting us in making our way, bumbling along as we often do, bumbling along, tripping here and there, not quite living up to what we would like to live up to because we don't know our divinity fully. And we step eventually into knowing it more and more and more, and they support that as well, but they don't require that, and they're not behind us pushing us toward it either. They're providing a safe place for us to explore it more easily than we would without their presence. And so once more, bring up and allow your gratitude to come forth and flow out to them. And once more, they're providing that space for us that we can experience what we're experiencing and walk this path, no matter how, well, uncomfortable, painful it may be at times to walk this path of seeking to awaken into our full divinity. It still, to me, is a wonderful gift. And I'm grateful for what they provide to me to enable me to walk it more easily. That space of their love. And so, may seem like a cliche, but I do love these guys and gals, I may use those terms. I love these beings and their willingness to support us all in that way. And so send out that as well, that love. And once more, whatever degree that you can, if you would so choose to support them and what they're doing, to pray for them, for instance, to ask that they receive in return, by all means, allow that to flow out as well. And once more, as we open in that gratitude, that love, that support, so we make space for more that we can receive. And just allow yourself to feel with the breath that flow. In and out. All right. And so let's connect with each other, the community of exposing the masters within, those of us live in linear time or not, who are choosing to walk this path of awakening, who find some value in this joining together of energies, or in the words that come out of my mouth that we co-create together to share. And in that shared intention, in that shared desire, in that shared path of moving into ever greater mastery, of moving step by step exposure of ourself by exposure of ourself. There is a safety. There is an expansiveness. There is support. And so again, we're opening to receive that support from each other. That support that makes it easier to move forward like the geese flying in the V. It is easier to move as a group on this path. And sometimes one of us is in front, sometimes it's another. But by moving together, we share and conserve energy. So, allow yourself to open to receiving that support. And allow yourself as well to feel the energy of that support going out. And if there's more that you would add to it, including the gratitude for it, including the gratitude for each of us in this community, co-creating this wave of energy moving forward in the world, then allow your gratitude out. And that goes to the others as well. And they can receive that as even more support. Because one of the things that gratitude does is it owns the experience of this moment, which frees us from it. The more we own the moment, this is one of the great gifts of being in the moment, the more we own it, the less we are attached to it, and the easier it is to move forward into the next experience, into the next moment. And that's part of what this expansion does when we connect our energies together to move forward. And when we allow the gratitude for that to come into play. And so again, whatever degree there is love, and in this case, the easiest way to think of it perhaps is that acceptance of each other. Even if you don't know anybody else who listens to this program in a physical body, that acceptance of each other. We are all divine beings playing at not knowing we're divine. We are all perfect already. And to the degree that we can hold that space for each other, that's that energy of acceptance, that's that energy of love, and that is loving each other. And sometimes it's easier, or it feels easier, to do that for others than it is for ourselves. Maybe because we know ourselves better than we know anyone else, but as we open up to that, that acceptance of the others who might be participating, even without having names or faces, so we open up to be accepted as well, because we have to step into our acceptance of ourselves as even worthy of loving the other. And it opens the door to seek to do that. So to even step toward that acceptance, that love of each other, is opening toward the love and acceptance of ourself more. And so allow that to expand and feel that flow of support coming in and flowing out. And let's expand out then to the largest group. Well, theoretically, I don't know, there might be more beings on the other side supporting us than there are actual physical beings in body right now. I don't know. But we're going to connect out with all of humanity, all of the other light workers. And again, I do make the distinction between the conscious light workers, those who are consciously seeking and moving toward their empowerment, and the unconscious, which is everybody else in a body. Because ultimately, we are all going to return to that state of full awareness of our divinity. It may take lifetimes, it may take however long it takes, but everyone who is in a body is divine and therefore will return to the awareness of that. And so this is about everyone who is in a human body right now, everyone who is playing at being human. And so again, the shared intention is the intention of connection. Anybody who's seeking is seeking connection. And it doesn't have to be a spiritual seeker. It doesn't even have to be seeking a spiritual connection. Whether it's a social connection or a religious connection or a cultural connection. It's seeking to know that we have meaning beyond our individual selves. and everyone walks that. We in this program are going perhaps more specifically in a more focused way, but everyone is seeking connection because we're seeking that discovery of our value. And so whether that connection is out to other humans or whether it is to the divine, even the connection out to other humans ultimately is there because we're seeking the divine, whether we know it or not. But that is our shared intention, that shared intention for connection. Well, this kind of completes the circuit because we began with connecting with our divinity as fully as possible today. And that's where it starts. And the more we start from there, the more we start from and connect into our own divinity, the less we're looking outside of ourselves for connection, because the less we're looking for our sense of value. But the more we come to realize all of those connections outside of ourselves. And so allow yourself to breathe in that support that is the energy of the shared intention of us moving forward, of us seeking connection. And by all means, the conscious light workers have a more specific intention, seeking that connection to divinity. And so amplify it even there further. Let yourself receive that. And let that energy go out from you that supports everyone else. And that seems like a lot of energy would be required, but you as a divine being are infinite, and you have opened you into the greatest access to your divinity that you're able to receive at this moment. And so it's not coming out of your personal energy. You're not losing anything by opening to offer it to others. Again, even if the only part that comes up is a little bit of gratitude, thank you for supporting me, that energy is going out and supporting them. But allow whatever energy of support comes up in you to flow out as well. It will be refilled. Again, the more we open and let go, the more we accept this moment and flow through it, the more we open to receive the next moment. And so the more we give that support and love and gratitude out to all the light workers, everyone in the human body, the more we're able to receive of their support coming back to us. Yes, it may seem like a lot going out to, 7 billion, 8 billion people now? But think of how much is coming back in that shared intention from 7 or 8 billion people. That's huge. Breathe that in and feel that to the greatest degree you can in this moment. And whatever that might be, it's perfect. And so, well, that's probably the longest I've ever spent on that part of the program. But it's never an accident. I never know consciously. I'm not doing it consciously necessarily, what the different words are in doing each of those parts each time. But I always find it interesting because it does tend to relate to what comes out as the actual program, what comes out in terms of what we're talking about. And what the topic is today, the primary topic, as always, there's going to be multiple topics with tentacles reaching out here and there. But the primary topic today is interconnectedness or unity or oneness, different terms for perhaps slightly different aspects of the same thing. But it felt very important to go through in this beginning process the different ways in which we are receiving back and forth in those connections. And to set the stage here for the discussion today, because that's what came out. That's what we created together at the flow. So let me begin talking a little bit about coincidence and its spiritual brother, synchronicity. And as I would look at coincidence, how people might define it, it's an experience where things happen simultaneously that fit together somehow, and yet there's no logical reason why they should have occurred at the same time or been present in the same location. For instance, you think about someone, and while you're thinking about them, the phone rings. And synchronicity, and when I say it's spiritual brother or spiritual sister of coincidence, essentially what synchronicity does is recognize that there are larger underlying patterns going on. In other words, synchronicity says that these two things were brought together for a reason, even if we don't understand what the reason is in the moment. In other words, they don't logically fit together, that they should have been there at the same time, and yet they were. And I'll give an example that happened to me this week, because that's kind of the seed that this topic showed up in my consciousness to talk about here today came from. I think it may have been Thursday, but in any event, the day is irrelevant, but we'll call it Thursday. I had a long list of phone calls to make, and some of them were very, very mundane, attempting to connect with, people about scheduling things, whether it was me receiving an appointment or me giving an appointment or whatever. There were all sorts of different things of that type. There were phone calls that were just dealing with logistics about payments and things like that. There were logistics about scheduling, people signing up for events and things like that. And I called a client that I don't believe I've ever called this person out of the blue before. Maybe I have, but, and again, it's someone that works with me periodically, but primarily through the gateways. And in calling this person, I just wanted to give her some information, and it was going to be a short conversation. It either resonated for her or it did not resonate, and we would go from there. But there were other people on the list, and one of those was, well, my friend Mayor, who was on the program last year, who is having another Walk-ins Welcome Conference this fall with her business partner, Joy, and she was on that list to call later in the day to respond and say, okay, if we can arrange this and this and this on my behalf, then yes, I can come speak at the conference. And when I made the call to that client, who was actually there at her house but Mary and Joy. Now, this was not in my conscious awareness. I do get their emails about the work that they're doing, but if I'm not in that area, I'm not going to read the email in great detail to find out where they are, what they're doing, when they're doing it, or who they might be staying with. There was no conscious connection at all, but I made the call to speak to the one and ended up speaking to both of them and got the answers that I needed to say, yes, okay, I can come back and be a speaker, be a presenter at the event this year again. And it was one of those things that, again, I would look at as synchronistic, that there was a deeper meaning in that. For me, quite frankly, it was an extra level of confirmation that it was the right thing for me to do, to be making that choice, to be going and presenting as a speaker, because she was already on my list of contact, and there she was. There she was. She came to me, not making the contact with me, but being present as I made that contact. And so again, maybe I'm ascribing something, maybe we all are, in synchronicity that really isn't there, but I believe it is, and I think if you're listening, you probably believe it is as well. Whether that was a revelation or not, I don't think it was such a huge revelation, but it was part of my personal experience, which exposing that is part of my job here, sharing those pieces, because we do walk pathways that are not the same, but that do have overlap. And one of the ways in which we do find truth is through what I'll call confirmation. I said it a moment ago that her presence there, when she was on my list to call later to talk about the scheduling, her presence there, and of course the answer she gave to my questions, said yes. But the fact that she was there, and I didn't have to call her separately and track her down and figure out where she was going to be, and I called at a time that she could actually get on the phone and talk to me, because often we make those calls and, well, it's phone tag or we have to wait. I know lots of people, when they call me to schedule an appointment or to ask a question or whatever, they're very surprised when I actually answer the phone. But it's in that flow. When we make the connection like that, it's in a certain flow that goes beyond what we might normally expect. And so what does that mean when I say confirmation? Well, in the past, I've worked with people who, if they received information that they thought was guidance, that they thought was a suggestion from spirit or from their own divinity or from their angels or whatever, however they might term it, for something that they would seek to do, then they would seek confirmation of that. And often how they would do it is, a couple of people in particular that I know, they'll ask for that particular thing to come up three times very close together, three times from other sources. So it's not like, well, let me give an example in terms of going on a trip. And I don't remember the particular destination, but one friend of mine, you know, got the guidance to go take this international trip. And it's an international trip. That's not a small thing. And put it out that she wanted confirmation. Well, how do we put it out? Well, we ask for it. We say, okay, I would like confirmation that I need to go to Madrid or wherever the heck it was. And I would like that to come up three more times in the next X number of days, in the next week. And it did. She turns on the television, random channel is on, and they're doing a travel show, and it's in Spain or it's in Madrid. And flips on the radio at a later time in the day in the car, and they're talking about something that's happening in Spain at that time. And flips open a newspaper or whatever, and there it is again. And that's the kind of thing that, again, I mean when I'm talking about confirmation, and I think that's what most people would mean or understand it to be. But how does that happen? How does that happen? Again, it fits back into that piece of synchronicity. And the more times it happens, the stronger it gets. Well, I'll share another example. I know I talked about this when I was talking through my history last year on those three programs, but one of the most significant experiences I've had was the first time I went to Egypt. And yet this was at a time when I had already begun channeling, but it was not my primary focus. I was certainly not making a lot of money at it. And to allow space for the channeling to expand and even for me to go on this trip, in hindsight, I can interpret it that way. But at the time, what was happening was client after client that I was working with on a regular basis doing hands-on energy work, they were coming to me saying, you know what, I've really gotten so much of what I want out of this, and I'm going to cut back from once a week to once a month, or I'm going to cut back from once a month to I'll call you when I feel like I need it, or I'm going to cut back from every other week to once every other month. And the flow that I had, which was allowing me to live basically hand-to-mouth at the time, was drying up. And so when the opportunity showed up for me to go to Egypt, and by opportunity, I mean the mention of it, my colleague, and at that time she wasn't a friend yet, I don't think. I hadn't known her very long, but certainly colleague, Shoshana, a wonderful channel who recently departed the planet, but Mayor and I and another friend of ours, Sylvia, had invited her out to Missouri to do some work there, and she came out with another friend, and they were staying with me, and they arrived, and I was taking her to, I guess this was on a Friday afternoon, I think, taking her to the, oh no, it was Saturday morning when we did this, taking her out to get some groceries for their stay while they were there. And she said, "Have you ever thought about going to Egypt?" And I said, "I would love to, but I have two problems. One is time and the other is money. I don't have the money to pay for a trip, and I don't have the time, because if I take the time, then I don't have the money coming in that's going to pay the bills while I'm gone, even let alone pay for the trip." And she said, "I think you're going to know within the next 3 days whether this trip is for you." And it's not that I didn't believe in synchronicity or hadn't had synchronicities in my life, but they certainly hadn't come in the way that they came for this. And again, synchronicity in some ways I look at as confirmation. And so we get back from this, and it's, I don't know, after lunch. But within an hour of getting back, within, you know, maybe 2 hours of her bringing this up, I get a phone call from a lawyer telling me that there's a settlement offer on the table for an auto accident that I had. I was rear-ended a couple of years prior to this. And again, this was a Saturday afternoon. I had never received a phone call from this lawyer under any circumstance in the entire 2 years. If there was contact made, I made it, or it was made by email or through something in the mail. And came in the afternoon, and well, the offer was for $5,000, and you take out the one-third, which comes down to 33.33%. You take out the one-third of that, that is the lawyer's fee, and what you're left with is $3,333. Okay, well, that may not mean anything, two sequential notices of 3333, but that was the exact cost of the Egypt trip that Shoshana was leading. And, of course, that money was not going to be able to pay for the trip, because a bunch of it was geared toward physical therapy, a bunch of it was geared toward chiropractic intervention, and yet what was left over would be enough to pay the bills while I was gone if I did manage to make it there to Egypt on the trip. All right, well, that rings rather loud in my head, in my energy field. The number one, the call from lawyer on a Saturday. Number two, the thing finally resolving that has lasted for, I think, 2 years at that point in time. And number three, the fact that 3333 is all over this situation. So in some ways, that was three synchronicities and three confirmations in one. And then that night, we go to the channeling event that they're having that we were hosting at Mayor's house, and I see the flyer that they have for the Egypt trip for the first time. And at the top of the flyer is this picture that has the Great Pyramid seen at an angle, so you're seeing two of the triangle sides of it, and at the top of it is this orb of the sun that's cut by that top point. And I see that, and I immediately, in a literal sense, my body starts to shake with the energy that's pouring through me. Because a couple days before they had arrived, in the backyard of my house that I was living in at the time, this not quite full circle had appeared in the grass. And it was about 6 inches in width, the line of it, and it was probably, I'd say, 5 feet in diameter, but the width of the actual line was like 6 inches going around. And that showed up one day, and kind of like, oh, what would the shape be? I don't know. If you cut a quarter-sized piece of pie out of the pie and took it out, what you would have left would be that circle with the big V in it. And then the next day, at the end of those lines, and this was the weird part, weirder than that circle, although in the few years I was living in that house, never before or since was there ever another mark in the yard like that. And anyway, the next day, from where the break was in the circle, had a couple of lines that came out just a little bit, almost like at a right angle from where the circle ended. And then lines went out from those to create essentially, to a degree, a diamond shape. Not exactly a diamond shape, but you get the idea. But essentially, it was the image that I was seeing on the top of this flyer. It was the pyramid seen from the side. If you carried those lines up to the center of that circle and then drew another one down from that point in the center of the circle to where those lines met at the bottom, it would have been the same picture as up at the top there. And that's what came into my head immediately, and the energy flows through. So I've got this thing in my yard that shows up on their flyer for the trip. And so I get another synchronicity, another confirmation, where it's something that already existed. They already had this printed. I hadn't told them about it, certainly, and not that they were going to put a symbol on top of their flyer specifically to get me to come along based on some random shape that was in my yard. All right, so now I've got two specific instances and what I'll call four synchronicities going on here. The next day on Sunday morning, we go out to another location, Joplin, Missouri, an hour's drive away to do another channeling. This time I'm called forward and told, this is the only channeling that I had in the time that they were there, but I'm told that I carry the energy of Osiris and it's time to reconnect. Now, in hindsight, and most of the people who have worked with me through the years or have worked with me at any time would know that Osiris is I would say, my primary guide and the being that I channel most frequently. I probably channel Osiris 50% or more of the sessions that I do. And obviously, in hindsight, that's quite amazing. At the time, it was like, well, eh. Not that I doubted the channeling in particular, but it could have been seen by a skeptic as them trying to convince me to come on the trip. No, that's not how I took it at the time. It's not how I experienced it. It did feel like, and for those who don't know, Osiris is known as, God of the Underworld is one of the designations in the Egyptian group of gods and goddesses, shall we say. And so there was another connection there, the synchronicity with Osiris and Egypt. And who she was channeling at the time was Isis, who is the wife and sister of Osiris in the mythology. So again, more synchronicities there, but I'm already accumulating quite a bit here. Now, the final one, the biggest one, the one that got me to say absolutely yes. Now, remember, I was asked this question on Saturday morning. That was Sunday morning. I've already got now three different experiences as synchronistic confirmation. Monday, I get the mail, and in the mail is my passport. Now, this was the first passport I had ever had, and I had received the guidance, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month before, that it was time. I'd had the thought prior to that, you know, you get on this path, you think about going to these places around the planet, Egypt, Machu Picchu, Stonehenge, etc., sacred sites around the world, and I had thought about it on and off. It had popped into my head on and off probably for a couple of years since I actively started doing healing work. But when it showed up 3 weeks, a month before, I don't remember the exact date, doesn't matter, I followed up on it. It was strong enough. It was overwhelming. At the time, I did not know about their trip to Egypt. So I wasn't getting the passport in preparation for going on this trip. As I said, I was living hand to mouth at the time. I got money in. It paid the bills. It put food on the table, etc. That was that. Going on these kind of trips was a pipe dream. It was future vision. That was not likely to happen now. But when you go in and you fill out the paperwork to get your passport and you give them the money, they will give you an estimated date. And, well, this is the government. So the expectation is that that date is the earliest that you're going to get it. At least that was my expectation. Well, for that passport to show up on that Monday within this 3-day time frame, and actually within a 2-day time frame basically, it showed up 2 weeks early. And that is unexpected to me in working with the government. And that was the last confirmation. That was the last synchronicity I needed. Now, again, if I go back, to me, it was a synchronicity that I even had the urge to get my passport at that time. Because getting your passport can take months, depending on how busy it is, what time of year it is, et cetera. Now, I don't know. Like I say, I'm not sure how far in advance I got that guidance, but the trip was not leaving that far away. So if I had not managed to get my passport at that time, I might not have been able to have it, or I might have had to pay the extra $100 or whatever to expedite the process. So this was Spirit not only giving me synchronicity in when it arrived, it's giving me synchronicity in well, go get this now. Since you don't have one, you're going to need it. Which reminds me, I need to go check and see when it expires. International travel is coming again. So what's that all about? Well, I'm going to cut down and shorten it because, interesting. This was not what I was planning on spending most of the time on here today, but yet here it is. So what happened? I committed. I said, yes, I'm going to go on this trip. I don't have the money. I don't know how it's going to happen. I do have the money now that can pay my bills while I'm gone. So I'm going to put it out to Spirit and know that it's going to happen. And there were a number of other people in the surrounding area who decided to go as well. But they had the money to pay for it. Yes. So I went through my own, well, my own contortions in attempting to follow the guidance to make it happen. And a number, again, of synchronicities took place in order to allow it to happen. Because, well, for instance, the cost of the trip, that $3,333, included airfare from New York, but I still had to get from Missouri, from Springfield, Missouri, to New York to get out there. Well, one of my clients at the time heard my situation and volunteered to give me frequent flyer miles to get me to New York. So that was taken care of. It didn't require more money. And at some point along the way, I was trying to use the mental faculty and use the intuitive faculty as well to figure out how to create the money or what was the next step in the pathway of that. And so I did have the guidance to go and speak to one of my clients who was also a friend who, well, she was going to Egypt and she also had lots and lots of money. So the guidance came in and the idea was there that, well, maybe I could ask her for the money. And so I did. Scared the hell out of me. I don't like asking for money. I don't like the feeling of helplessness that can come with that. I don't like to take advantage of anyone else, and I don't like to owe people. But I knew I had to go. I knew this trip to Egypt was something that was calling me. And so I got up the guts to do it. And her response was, well, I need to think about it. And we let it go. She said she would let me know the next day. In the meantime, I'm kind of freaking out, talking to another one of my friends who points out to me all the synchronicities and says, you know what, you're going on this trip. And it's not important whether she gives you the money or not. What's important is that you asked for it. Because it's not just that you asked her, it's that you put it out to the universe. And you said, I'm willing to do what it takes. You were willing to step through your fear. I was willing to step through my fear to ask this person this question that I didn't want to ask. I felt I needed to, but I didn't want to. And she got me to see. She got me to let go of the fear that I had ruined the friendship or the client-therapist relationship, and got me to see that and to feel, not just mentally, but to actually feel it, that what was important was that I had asked, not that I would get the response of yes. And in fact, she came back the next day and said no. And her reasoning, and certainly valid, obviously it's her money and it's her choice, but the reasoning was that she had too many people who were friends of hers, or seemed to be friends of hers, only because she had money and they could get things from her. And she needed to know what kind of friendship we had. And, you know, it was actually a great relief that she said no. And I actually gave her a big hug and I said, thank you for letting me ask you the question. And it's quite all right. I'm going to Egypt. You know, the money will show up. And there were other contortions that I won't go into. And finally, I went on another trip to speak at a conference for walk-ins, which is where we began the show, began this whole story, the synchronicity piece. And for the first time ever, I made more money in doing work than I spent in expenses. And so now I had some spending money for the trip and got back from that conference on a Monday. The trip was leaving for Egypt on Wednesday, and in my mailbox on Monday was a check for $5,000. Signature loan, I had to pay it back, but it appeared out of thin air, and all I had to do was sign it. I'd never received anything like that before, and there it was when I needed it, so I could hand them a check and not have to go just on them spotting me the money to go to Egypt. And, well, what I'd like to do is take that story and look at the interconnections that were there. So, well, let me just work backwards. Whoever it was in that loan company that ran across my information and decided that I would be a likely candidate or a potential candidate for a signature loan, that I'm going to sign a check out of the mail. That person, and whatever other people got that information to that person, whoever made the decision got a long list of candidates probably before that. And it got put in the mail, so it would appear right there on that day. All of those people at that walk-in conference who chose to sign up and get work with me and allowed me to not only finally, for the first time ever, pay for the event that I was speaking at, but to carry money out with me, signaling a new kind of abundance for me. The person that I was asking if I could borrow the money, the friend who convinced me that that was irrelevant whether I got a yes or no, working my way backwards is not quite as easy. The people, everyone involved in fulfilling a passport. I don't know how many steps there are. I have no idea who that might be. But from where I turned it in, which might have been the post office or Social Security office. I don't know where it was, but I think it was post office. Wherever I turned it in and sent it, to all the people that had passed through before it got made, and then all the people again it had to pass through to get back to me, including all the people in the post office to get it there. Oh, and all those people to give me that check. all the participants at that channeling in Joplin, that I got told I carried the energy of Osiris. It's time to reconnect. Well, all the people who were already going on the trip, there were enough people signed up that they were going to go through with it. But that was actually a question when they came to Missouri. They weren't sure that they were going to have enough, that they were actually going to break even. And yet they were willing to spot me the money and pay for my trip if I didn't have the funds to go when it came down to it. And again, that was not only their trust in me, but their trust in spirit in taking care of them was that I would have the money so they wouldn't have to pay it out of pocket. Well, the person who rear-ended me 2 years before, the lawyers on both sides, the phone company for having the phones up, and on and on and on, and all the guides who guided me along the way to go get the passport, to listen to the synchronicities, etc., and all the people who were going to help us out in Egypt, and all the people who were on the trip, etc., 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 and the people who got me connected up to the walk-in group in the first place, because it was at the walk-in conference in that summer, in June, that we made the connection with Shoshana, who was the one who was leading the trip to Egypt that fall, and so on, and so on, and so on. And if I hadn't had the connections to do the healing work at Lake of the Ozarks, I wouldn't have the person who would have brought me the information about the walk-in group, that I wouldn't have been a part of that group or a speaker at that group, and would have never made those connections. And back and back and back. The ripples of everything in our lives are so huge because of how connected we are. And the more we can step into our trust, and I know from years of dealing with other people who I annoy that one of the things I'm here to do is to hold a deep energy of trust. There were lots of people who wanted to go to Egypt, and maybe they didn't have the synchronicities, and so they couldn't trust enough. Or maybe I trusted enough that I could allow myself to receive the synchronicities. I don't know which. But the more we step into our trust, the more we ask for confirmation. And again, confirmation to me is often that energy of synchronicity. It's things showing up together in close proximity to each other that don't logically make sense that they're going to. The more we can step into that trust, the more we can step into opening ourselves to perceiving the synchronicities, the more easily we allow our divine energy to flow, and we allow all these connections down to the earth, to all of the guides and angels, to the rest of humanity. We share a big web of energy. Everything we think about, we send energy to. It goes out. That's why we'll think about someone and the phone will ring, or we'll get that email, or we'll get that text. And the more we make these connections a regular part of our life and step forward, not with the ultimate vision. I often joke with people, although it's true, that if when I was first getting ready to go into massage school, or maybe even when the channeling first opened up, any point, or when I was training to be a teacher, if someone had, I don't know, maybe pictures, maybe just a visual description, but if someone had been able to look into the future and predict, some psychic had come to me and said, you know what? You're going to go all over the country doing this work, and you're going to go all over the world doing this work, and you're going to have a radio show, and you're going to do full moon events every month, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. I truly believe that I would have run screaming away from this. I probably would have ended up coming back. I would have been dragged back to it, but it would have brought up so much fear in me and so much of my feeling of unworthiness that I wouldn't have been able to do it. I've been grateful that I've been able to see the next piece and the next piece and the next piece. And part of what I think is happening for all of us is sometimes those pieces are getting bigger because the veil is getting thinner. We are getting more in contact with our divinity. But the more we connect with our divinity, the more we see the bigger picture, the more the small part of us, the part of us that still does not know we're divine, the part of us that still believes and feels completely that we are unworthy of these things, the more that part rebels against the vision and struggles with it. And so I think, from what I've heard, a lot of people walking the path are experiencing this these days. It seems to be even getting harder. I don't think that's the resistance of the dark forces out there trying to stop us. I think that is the dark energy, the doubt, the unworthiness that we feel inside of us that is not truth being pushed to the surface more and more the more we step into the bigger picture and the bigger vision and the more we allow ourselves to dream of the world that we are creating that transcends, not eliminates, but transcends and actually allows the clearing of so much of what we as humans experience that is built in the pain of believing we are unworthy. And that, to me, is this darkness that we're dealing with and why it seems so overwhelming of late and why even, again, was it last week I talked about shame and the week before that I couldn't do the show because of what was up for me? I believe that that's a big piece of why these things are coming up. And so, I truly believe that the best way out is to keep going within. The best way out of this darkness is to keep going within and connecting with our divinity and exposing a little more of it. And the best way out is to go within and connect with the Mother Earth and let ourselves feel that love and support. And the best way out is to go and connect, to go within and connect to our divine support. And the best way out is to go within and connect with the like-minded individuals in communities like the Exposing the Masters Within community. And the best way out is to go within and connect out to the light workers and the rest of humanity. And ultimately, that encompasses all of the earth. As we connect down to the earth, we're not just connecting with the rocks. We're connecting with the plants, the animals, the other beings here. We're connecting with the water. We're connecting with the air. We're connecting with the totality of this level of experience. And as we do that and bring more of our divinity into it, and we trust it more because we can feel it more, and we magnify through that trust more synchronicity, which allows us to trust it even deeper, so we come to create the world that we would choose consciously to live in. So that was a little adventure today. Thank you, everyone. And at this time, let's go see what they might have to add from the other side. So allow your breathing to deepen, and I will do the toning that will adjust the frequencies so we can bring in whoever would choose to be here today. Hello, dear ones. This is Mother Earth or Gaia or whatever other word you might like to use. Come to be with you. Come to ask you a favor. Might not be the kind of favor you think we might ask. But the favor is this. Tend your own garden. Now, we mean that mostly figuratively, but literally as well. So if you have a garden, by all means, go plant in it. Go weed it. Go decide what you would like it to be. But we mean that even more figuratively, because spending your time focusing on the pain that you believe that we are experiencing is not only wasting your time, it's wasting your energy, and it is counterproductive to what you are trying to do. Because first of all, we are not experiencing pain as you would understand it based on the things that you think are painful. Whether that is, oh, pollution here or there, whether that is extinction here or there, whether that is, shall we say, rainforest issues, etc. You need to understand that we are the collective energy of all the beings here, including all the humans. Now, humanity has consciously chosen to pretend as if it does not belong to nature. But that is another outward expression of the experience of the separation from divinity. It is not truth. It cannot be truth, because the energy of the planet is all of the energy that is part of the planet. Our energy is joined. Our energy is merged. And you can think of the Gaia hypothesis if you like. You can think of such things as that. But we can put it to you more simply. We can put it to you more simply. You, in the same way that you have cells that make up your body, you are essentially a cell in the body that is the Mother Earth. And if you think about some of the poetry, now you may not think of it as poetry, but the phrase, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You came out of the earth, you go back into the earth. Unless you are an astronaut and you die in space. You came from the earth and you will return to the earth. And the thing is, you are of the earth while you are alive as well. And we, the totality that is the energy of the earth, are creating together. The one we are speaking through may have mentioned this in another program, certainly has mentioned it at other times, in other places, in other forums. But it is impossible for any species to go extinct without the consciousness, the energy, if you will, of that species choosing for it to leave. Humanity does not have the power to create that on its own. Humanity, if you will, the actions of humanity on a physical level of causality may have caused extinctions. But the physical level is the level of effect, not of primary cause. You must envision hunting an animal, or you must envision putting up a parking lot, or you must envision cutting down the rainforest or the trees in order to create the effect that might lead to the extinction. and this is just one example, where do you think that vision comes from? Where do you think the vision of agriculture came from? It was divine inspiration, but it was divine inspiration that was co-created with the whole of the planet. And it was agriculture that allowed what you call civilization to progress, and it is civilization, as it has progressed, that has created these other effects that have rippled out and created extinctions, and that have some of you so riled up about things as they stand right now on the planet. We tell you this. Do not go out and try to kill off species. Of course, if you tried, you would only be able to if it was their choice, in concert with the whole, that they leave this sphere of existence. But even more importantly, is that you need to understand that you are working together with all the others. Not just all the other humans, all the other beings. How do you think the random mosquito gets to you that might bite you? By agreement with your soul. How do you think that the plant or the animal that you eat, no matter how many layers it has to come through the butcher or the farmer, etc., to get to you through the grocery store eventually? How do you think that that particular being comes to provide sustenance for you? Through agreement with your soul, through agreement with all of the others whose hands it passed through. As much as you are interconnected with the world through the internet and through things like that, and you connect, make those connections out there, you tend not to process those connections at other levels as well. If you would truly learn to be in your power, it is time for you to seek those other connections. To know that it is not an accident of the wind patterns that you breathe this breath in, this bit of oxygen into your system, and whatever other else might be in that air. It is an orchestrated dance that is going on by agreement of all participants. The atmosphere has consciousness. The water has consciousness. Every level of organism that you would call alive, and many that you would not call alive, has consciousness. And consciousness is co-creating, and consciousness is interconnected. And so, what are we here to say to you? We are here to say to you to stop trying to save other beings. Other beings. And we would offer it to you this way, because this is one of the ways that the one we're speaking through can most easily allow it to come through. And it is something that has been assigned to the one you would most likely know as the Master Jesus. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. What does that say to most people? It says go out and treat other people well. But it's been distorted in many cases that you should take care of them first. That self-sacrifice is the best way to go about it. That you fix what's outside yourself. And that's how you find peace and comfort and value and love. And that is a crock. That is how you try to earn it, but you never experience it. Because it is not where your value resides. Certainly, we do not deny the value of service. But true service does not come seeking value. It comes from knowing value within the self. And here is the part of the equation that most people overlook whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. Why is it that the least of my brethren that is spoken of when the Master said that is always someone other than you? Ultimately, that statement is, whatsoever you do to anyone, you do unto me. But that includes yourself, and you are the one that you are with all of the time. You are the one that you have the greatest capacity to make change with or for. You are the one that you have the opportunity to come into self-love of. You are the one that you have the opportunity to come into knowing your divinity, to come into knowing your mastery, and to thereby change the energies across this planet by changing your own and leading by example. You can never affect another more than you can affect yourself. And take that at the individual level and the collective level. And we said earlier that when you're trying to save these things out there, most often what you're doing is actually making them worse. Because you're focusing on the fight and you're feeding energy to the fight. We have to save the rainforest. We have to fix this. We have to fight the evil ones who are doing this to the planet, who are doing this to the rainforest, who are ruining it for the rest of us. And what is that doing? It is adding energy to the need to struggle. If you would choose to change any of those things in the world, by all means, come into your power first. And then you can affect real change. And it will not be through fighting with others. It will not be through struggle. It will be through empowerment. It will be through already knowing that you have the power to stop that. Because you make a different choice. Because you can gather together energies that would co-create a different choice with you. And so, no, not only are we with you and supporting you, but you are with us. And it is not just that you are one of us, that we are in partnership together in that way. It is that you are of us. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Life from life. And divinity from divinity. Breathe into your divinity. Expand it in your life. Trust in your next step. Trust that that step will get you to the one beyond it. Trust by opening into your divinity a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and know that you are loved. Namaste, dear ones. Well, thank you, Mother Earth, and thank you to all of you out there helping to co-create and shape this. And thank you to Doug, always ready with those chimes. All right. And as always, let me know what you think, not just about today, but by all means about today. What you like, what you don't like, what you'd like more of, what you'd like less of, topics, guests, questions. Obviously, it all gets fed through the hopper, so to speak, to come out in the program in its right divine time. But I cannot do this without you. Thank you for your presence. And whatever the show will go, hopefully you will be back next week. May you have a wonderful week, my friends. Namaste.